This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Michael, is Michael here? He's downstairs. Michael is a coach of a high school team, and I didn't have a chance to talk to him, but I imagine that he, at some time or another, maybe during practice, maybe not during a game, that maybe he'll grab a player and grab him by the jersey, maybe, you know. I don't know if you're allowed to do that anymore, but in the old days, right? Anybody know who Woody Hayes is? Yeah, grab him by the helmet. And he did that on national TV, so he didn't last much longer after that, grabbing kid. I think he actually hit someone. We're not doing that today. But the point I'm trying to make is we are going through the book of Galatians, and there are moments where certain passages is like a coach coming to you and grabbing your jersey and bringing you close in order to get your attention, not to harm or hurt the player, because the player is on the team. He could feel at ease that he's on the team, but maybe he needs to learn how to play the part correctly or to focus. They've been training to do a certain thing. Maybe it's a play and, you know, a guard's supposed to be pulling and maybe he forgot. And then the coach talked to him. This is what we've been practicing. And this is what this passage that we're going to go over is more like in your face. Now, in Americans, we don't like in your face, right? We don't like someone telling us. You want me to tell you how wonderful you are and you're awesome. And you are, but the Lord is going to use this passage to remind us to be in step with him. Long, long, long time ago, I was a radio disc jockey. Some of you may not know that, but yeah, I'm a man of multiple talents. And I was a radio disc jockey at a radio station called WWCU in Cullowhee, North Carolina, Western Carolina University, when I was in school there. And on Sunday mornings, I was the radio DJ for the Christian Hour, which was like from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., which basically everybody was still asleep on campus. It was a campus radio station. And I was not living the life that I was claiming to my church back at home that I was. And I found myself at a frat party and a lot of drinking and people around. And this one guy, he sees me and I recognized him. He was a disc jockey from the radio station. He's the guy that followed me after my show. And he was inebriated, and he looked me in the eyes, almost touched me with his finger. "You're the guy that does the God show." And I looked him in the eyes. I said, "Wrong guy." I told him it wasn't me. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'll get back to my story here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and you have to kind of go back to the other chapters to get the full context, but there is a challenge that Paul is bringing to the Galatians. They're trying to add something to the gospel. He says, "I opposed him face to his face because he stood condemned." Powerful words. "Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back." Now, maybe some of your passages will say Peter, but Peter came young. "I opposed him to face to face. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group." If you're new, you have to see that the church was trying to add to what it meant to be someone who was saved. And they were saying you have to start following Jewish laws. And so they were forcing these believers to act like they're Jewish and be circumcised. And so Peter is eating at the table and he's drawn back and begins to get away from the Gentiles and just eat with those of the circumcision group. "The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray." Very interesting, that word. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth, not walking in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" The book of Galatians is about the gospel, the foundation of the gospel, what it means to be saved, and what it means to be rooted in Christian-rooted living. The Apostle Paul will use these words that you are not in line, you're not in step with the truth of the gospel. He's saying to the Galatians, you are not in step with the gospel. So what's going on? Paul is challenging the church to walk in step with the gospel. And we saw that other video clip, what it looks like when we're not. I mean, we fumble, we fall, and they didn't show it. That other video, you didn't see the whole video, but those two little boys began to affect the other people that were doing a three-legged race, and they tumbled into another. And that's a really good picture of what's going on here. Now, the word that comes to mind as we read the scripture is the word hypocrisy. Now, usually, we don't like the word hypocrisy. I don't like it. But the word hypocrisy is an old word. It has an old meaning. Meaning, it's just simple. It means this, putting on a mask. It means putting on a mask. Typically, it was someone who was in theater that would put on a mask and play a part. And so when we think of hypocrisy, we think that it's someone who's not living up to his or her ideals. Like maybe, you know, years ago, there was a pastor who preached holiness, but got caught with a woman in a seedy hotel that was not his wife. And people say, look, there's the hypocrite. But again, the word hypocrite means someone who puts on a mask and plays a part to play, playing a part in a play. Someone who is not living up to her ideals. So the question I have for myself as I'm reading this, and I shared that story with you, at this frat party when I was doing the Christian radio program, was I being a hypocrite? Just nod yes or no. All right. I don't really know. Because the definition of a hypocrite is putting on a mask and acting like you're something else. So the challenge I have for me was I being a hypocrite at the radio station, or was I being a hypocrite at this party? Because I was acting out a part. Was it at the radio station and I was acting like I was a Christian, but I wasn't? Or was I at the party acting like a non-Christian, but I was? And Paul is going to address this. I was at a meeting this past Thursday on campus, and I don't know if you know this, if you ever applied for Florida State, there is a section on the application that talks about religious affiliation. And we would get the list. If it said Catholic, the Catholic ministry would get the list. If it said Presbyterian, the Presbyterians would get the list. And I always joked around that back in the day, in the early days, it was name labels, and the Catholic would get like stacks and stacks of names. And when it came to like Mario and Assemblies of God, I would get like, they'd pull two or three stickers and hand it to me. So I never really got a lot of names. But if it said Baptist, man, the BCM would just get stacks. That number has, of course, increasingly gotten smaller. And it is interesting that we still have around, I forget how many thousands of people say they're believers, they're Christian. And then we'll only find out once they get to campus, right? Like I found out. You know, college campus is like this heat lamp that melts the mask and then reveals who we really are. And so the Apostle Paul sees Peter play acting. Peter is a believer, and he is play-acting. He has a mask on. And Paul is challenging him how he's interacting with the Gentile believers. Prior to this meal, Peter would eat with the Gentiles, but at this little celebration, he puts on a mask. Peter enjoyed freedom, eating with Gentiles, and now he's putting on a mask and he's shying away from them. Hypocrisy then is simply not living up to what you say you are and believe. The sin is when a true believer plays a part of a non-believer. You know the gospel is true, but you're playing the part, you're putting on the mask and acting as though it is not. It's a challenge to the church. It's a challenge to me. And hopefully, if you allow the Holy Spirit, if you need to be challenged, let him challenge you. Because we're all tempted to play act, to cover up what we really believe and how we live. As I shared with you that moment, what was I covering up? And as I really thought about it, what was I? Well, I did claim to be a Christian. I did have faith in Christ. And I was in a place where I shouldn't have been. So truly, I was putting on a mask. I believed something. I had faith in someone. But I was putting on a mask and not living it out. Typically, the source of this thing that Peter is dealing with, what we call hypocrisy, is what I would call, it's kind of like being taking a shortcut. It's expedient. We were taking advantage of the situation so that you're in a social setting, and it is a social setting, and you're afraid of reprisal, so I don't want to have to deal with any conflict, put on the mask. So social pressure in the sense of like, I don't want to deal with any issues, so I'll put on a mask. And so it's expedient when Peter was doing this. The Apostle Paul says that Peter drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. He was afraid of this group of people. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because what? He was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group. So the second thing I believe why we put on masks and why Peter put on the mask is not only was it expedient for him to do so, fear, which reveals another issue as you're peeling back this onion. Back to the thing that the Apostle Paul was talking about the church in chapter 1, which is the inordinate desire to please people. Play acting is how people pleasers navigate through life. In years past, I could see my life. I was a thespian, I was a hypocrite. I believed one thing, but depending on the circumstances, I would put on the mask. And Paul is making this point to the church. People pleasers navigate through life. They put on masks to cover up their true convictions. When we're inordinate desire to and worried about what others might think of us if they knew who we truly were. So Paul sees mask wearing, play acting as an act of treachery. It's serious. Serious. When Cephas came to Antioch, verse 11, I opposed him because he stood condemned. It was a serious offense to put on a mask, to play act against the truth of the gospel. And when we put on masks, think of mask wearing, play acting. These are nice ways of saying hypocrite. The challenge when we put on our mask and we are play acting, think of this as a virus. Now, of course, all of us lived through the epidemic 3 years ago. And think of hypocrisy as the same thing. It's a virus. It's a virus because you need social human interaction for it to spread. And it can spread with those who you come in contact with. Barnabas was also infected, it says, with this mask-wearing hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it that then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" And later on, he will talk about Barnabas being affected. The point I'm trying to make is that when we wear masks and play the acting game, it harms others. It infects others. And this is a challenge for us everywhere we go. At home, think of wearing a mask, play acting as a virus. It affects our kids. If you truly are a follower of Christ and you come to say to church, that's your real self. But when you're at home behind closed doors, you know, you are not living up to the biblical standard. It's not just you being affected. It's affecting your children. Or at work. Maybe you're at work. And, you know, and listen, I'm not in secular world like you guys are. So I have lots of empathy and try to have a lot of grace. I am not in your shoes. I work with Christians. And but there are times where I am surrounded by non-believers. And I listen to their conversations. And I'm shocked sometimes of the, it's all guys. They're all my age or around that age. And the crude language that comes out of their mouth is just, to me, it's shocking. To you, you probably have to deal with it every day. But the challenge is that if I were to get swept into that culture, then not only am I harming my own self, or slip into that culture at home, then I'm also infecting and affecting my family. So the challenge for us in this room is that when we are interacting socially or in homes, at work, or at play, that the challenge is to walk in the Spirit that's in line with the gospel, and that we're not giving the wrong message. So there's three things I think I put on PowerPoint. Three things I think that could help us stay in step with the gospel. Now, I use the analogy of a balance beam. Now, I've been on a few balance beams, but only the ones that are like 2 inches off the ground. I don't do the real balance beams. But really, life is like a balance beam, isn't it? Spiritual life, especially. And so one of the things I remember when my daughter was taking gymnastics at Truesdale, and then my granddaughter, and when they're on that balance beam, but I've overheard the teacher, Joel's dad was the teacher. If you didn't know that, his dad was one of the head dogs over there at Truesdale. And one of the things they tell you is to look straight. Don't look down. You know, don't walk, look down and see all the places you can fall. And so that's a challenge for us as a church, to look straight ahead. Look at Christ. Don't look down. Fix our eyes on Christ. Don't look to the audience. You know, if you try to walk on that balance beam and wave at mom and dad, you're in trouble. But keep your eyes straight on Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ, straight ahead. The second thing I noticed when they teach these young gymnasts is to balance yourself, stick out your hands. And I like that analogy of us walking on a beam and sticking out our hands, spreading your arms is a symbol that I need Jesus. Sometimes I've seen the teacher walk with the gymnast, just kind of help with the balance. And I like to use that as an analogy. Let's hold on to Christ. You know, when you see me lift my hands up, sometimes I'm like, "You are worthy," but sometimes I need you, Jesus, and I'm needing His help. in my journey with him, and so that I'm in step with the gospel. And sometimes God will send you people in your life to help you walk in step with the gospel, a spouse, a friend, a pastor, a small group person, a small group leader. God will help if you put your posture in a place of saying, God, I need your help to walk straight in step with the gospel. The third thing is what I noticed in these classes is that they tell you to, if you fall off, get back on, right? If you fall off, get back on. And I want to challenge us, even if we fall off, let's get back on the beam. And as we take our step and we are in line and step with the gospel. Verse 13 says, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus. Get back on the beam and put our faith back on Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. And Paul is challenging the church in Galatians to get in step with this gospel. So if the apostle Peter can fall off the beam, if you will, we can too. And again, I shared 2 weeks ago or last week, our goal is not perfection, but humility. Be humble. Be humble to say, you know what? Sometimes I'll wear a mask. Be humble. Sometimes I fell off the beam. Be humble, and God will meet you there. He'll help you. Ask for Jesus for forgiveness and help. As I finish here, and I know Joanne's downstairs, I want her to sing that song again. But I'd like for us to respond. I'm just going to ask you by raising your hand in a second, but one of the world's best Christian bands in the 90s. Who's that? DC Talk, right. That's a no-brainer. They wrote a song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But in the beginning of that song, they quote, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill, and he says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. And that is what is that is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And then the song goes on, what if I stumble? What if I fall? And the whole song is about that. What happens if I stumble? And what if I fall? What if I lose my step and make a fool of us all? Will this love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble and what if I fall? Well, if you go to Christ, he'll help you, right? He's here to help us. He's here to help you. He's here to help me. And I'm going to tell you, this may not be fun to hear, but I am not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect father-in-law. I'm not a perfect friend. I need Jesus every day of my life. And what I don't want to do is be a mask wearer. I'm not going to wear the mask of that I'm living a life of perfection. But I want to live a life that try to be a life of humility before the Lord, that I need his help. I need his help in certain areas of my life. I need his help. So I stretch out my hands. I need his help to get me back on that journey with him, to walk in a way that is in line and step with the gospel. So this morning, I'd like for us to just close your eyes and I'm going to ask you a small question. Is that you can say, Pastor Mario, sometimes I fall prey to wearing masks. maybe at work, home, social settings. That's you, just raise your hand. We're just going to be honest here. Yes. You can put your hand down. Or you can raise your hand. Next one is like, Lord, say, Pastor Mario, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need Jesus to help me in my walk. That's you, just raise your hand. Yes, me too. Thank you, Father. Lord, we exalt your name this morning. I thank you for my awesome church, Lord, your awesome church. Lord, that we try not to live with masks. Lord, we know we need you. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need Jesus. And that we need the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit to help us, convict us, challenge us, and maybe sometimes grab us by the jersey and bring us close and say, we should do better, we could do better. But Lord, thank you that you don't just do that, but you help us and you show us. So Lord, help us this morning to live for you. Thank you, God, for the Bible and Galatians, and thank you that we get to see what it looks like when a church is out of step, when a person is out of step, and then we can relate to that. Help us as a church never to be out of step with the gospel. Help us to never add something to the gospel in order for someone to be saved. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.